We're glad to see everybody here. We do have some visitors, and so we're glad that you're here. Come our way also. And of course, there's several that are out of town, and then some are back from out of town, and some are long-time visitors, and some are former members, and they're back again visiting with us. So it's great to be here. So anyway, we're going to talk this morning. If you paid attention to the scripture reading, you heard the word comfort many times. We're going to talk about comfort. In fact, this is the beginning of a series of lessons which I'm going to intersperse throughout the rest of this year. It's talking about the fact that a lot of times there are doctrines which are called comfort doctrines. In other words, people who don't want to do God's word, they find a doctrine that they're comfortable with. And we know there's a lot of choices out there. And people make these choices. And they go out there and they don't like what one preacher says, so they go and find another preacher until they find one that they want to listen to. And of course, this is according to Scripture. Paul said it would happen there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4. And so people want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to listen to God's word, so they find someone who teaches them what we call a comfort doctrine. And so there are several lessons we're going to talk about here. We're going to talk about where true comfort really comes from. Later on, we'll be talking about the fact, one of these comfort doctrines is the fact that there is no hell. And so when people get taught that there is no hell, they have nothing to fear. So it's comforting to them. The once saved, always saved is a comfort doctrine. The faith only is a comfort doctrine. So we're going to cover these in the months to come from time to time. So when it comes to true comfort, people are always looking for comfort. If you consider anything, you think, what do people desire the most? Well, some people want happiness. Some people want love. Some people want security. But a lot of them, and when you get down to it, they just want comfort. The problem is, in the world, there is no true comfort. There's a false comfort. It gives people a false sense of security. And when they have this false sense of security, they don't feel the need to be seeking any longer. And so we're going to talk about true comfort, where it actually comes from. And it is found only in Christ. So, we're going to, in this study, based upon the false security that many have about their faith. And so we're going to, first of all, establish that God wants us to be comfortable with our salvation. And that's something, sometimes we don't say that enough, but God wants us to be comfortable with our salvation. You know, about 4 months ago, we had a sermon titled, Are You Comfortable in Your Christianity? And there were several points made in that lesson about the fact that while, yes, we need to be comfortable with it, we also need to take it for the seriousness that it has. We have to be serious about this. The saving of souls is serious business. Our salvation is serious business. And so we don't want to be too comfortable. Because you know what happens when someone gets too comfortable? We see this in sports all the time. A team gets up a big lead, so they get comfortable. And the other team comes back and wins. And so that happens. We've seen it happen. So we cannot take that idea of getting comfortable and just sit back and relax. We cannot do that. God wants us to live with hope and assurance. That's what he tells us, and of course his hope and assurance is only in Christ. His word, the Bible, is intended to be something that will give us comfort as we face trials and difficulties in this life. And so that hope has to be also realistic, which means it must be based upon what his word actually says. And there's all the false teachers out there, they give a false security, they give a false doctrine that gives a false hope, and people feel good about it. They think they're going to heaven, but in reality, when they stand before God, he's going to say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. And so we don't need that. We need to avoid that. So the only way to avoid that is to do what God says. And when we do this, we can have comfort in ourselves. We can have that peace which passes all understanding in ourselves that we are doing what God wants us to do, and then we will be comforted. So what is comfort? Let's go to the dictionary real quick. It says to give strength and hope to ease the grief of trouble or ease the grief or trouble of whatever it might be. And the Greek word, which is translated comfort, has multiple meanings. It's translated usually as exhort, exhortation, or I beg you, or I urge you, as Paul was wont to say with many of the people he's writing to, I encourage you, I beg you, I urge you to do this. In other words, he saw it was so important, it's literally like getting out, I beg you to be righteous before God. It's making an earnest plea. And so sometimes this word comes out as comfort. And there's a few other words that are used. But with such diversity of meaning, it is obvious that the context is going to dictate the meaning of this word. So when we equate this word to comfort, its use is somewhat parallel to our English definition as above. And so when you want to get comforted, what do? Well, some people, they go get in their recliner and fall asleep because they get comfortable. Or they go lay down in bed, maybe turn on the news or something, or something, and they fall asleep because they become comfortable. And so that's what we really want. We want that type of comfort, and we're looking for, ultimately, the comfort we find in heaven. All right, so it indicates the idea of reassurance and consolation. Now, our God is a God of comfort, as we read there. In Romans 15:5, describes him as the God of patience and comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3, where we read, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Did you notice how many times that word comfort was in the scripture reading? About 7 or 8 times. It was there a lot. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. In John 14 and 16 and 26, verse 15, chapter 15, 26, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit that is going to come. He is described as the helper. In the New King James and New American Standard, that is the word used, helper. But now the term is a form of the word comfort. And so that's why in the King James and the American Standard, they describe the comforter. As Jesus described, this is what he's going to do. So he's going to be a helper, but he's going to comfort you as well. And so the term in describing the Holy Spirit is not limited to one of comfort. He does much more for us. So the term helper is really more appropriate term to be used. And so it is certainly something that the Holy Spirit provides for us. He provides us help. He still provides us help. How does he do it? He gives us his word. He gave us his word. So when we turn to the scriptures and we learn from it, the Holy Spirit is helping us. He is guiding us. And if we really put our faith in this, the Holy Scriptures give us comfort. So other passages describe him as a caring God. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 7. And he is a God of hope and patience, mercy and grace. He truly is concerned about us and wants what is best for us. And he wants us to enjoy life. You know, when Jesus said, I came to give life and life more abundantly. In other words, we're not supposed to be walking around like we just ate a sour pickle with frowns on our faces. We're to be happy. Why shouldn't we be happy? We have the hope of salvation. We have Jesus Christ died for us so that we can have this hope and this happiness. And so we need this happiness. We don't need to go through life all sad, thinking, well, I can't have any fun anymore. No, we can still enjoy ourselves. We have each other to spend time with, and we can enjoy ourselves because these are the best people in the world. When you look at it, the people in this building are the best people in this world. especially in this community that we live in, you're not going to find anything better anywhere. And the message that he gives us is ultimately one of hope and forgiveness and salvation. 2 Peter 1:3, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God didn't leave anything out. He gave it to us and we have it recorded for us in his word. He is the God of victory who has defeated the enemy and he is in full control. Jesus Christ defeated death. He defeated Satan. And he is in control. He has all authority. And so he rules. Such thoughts ought to be great comfort and consolation to us as we face so many issues in this world. And in this world we fall short of his image and his character. But yet he allows us to have access to him. And that should be comforting. See, comfort is promised. In some sense, the Christian life brings about true comfort, even as we face difficulties or whatever might come our way. We can still have comfort knowing that God cares for us and God wants us to be comforted and God has provided for us everything we need to be comforted. See, Matthew 5:4, he said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." A lot of us have gone through this process, sometimes more than we would like. But yet, through it all, we still have the assurance that in the end, we can have a relationship with God and we can go to heaven and hopefully meet our loved ones there. See, in Luke 16:25, in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, we find Abraham explaining to the rich man, "But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented.'" See, when we die, we go one of two places. We're either prepared for heaven, which is called paradise, or we are gone to torment in preparation for casting into hell. And so, if we are living faithfully and we die, then we are going to be comforted. It's going to be a place of comfort. We won't have any cares, any worries, or anything like that. See, the ultimate comfort we anticipate is that found in the eternal rest of heaven. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to accomplish here, is to help each other get to heaven. And we can find comfort in that fact. 2 Corinthians 7:6 says that God comforts the downcast. He really does. Actually, God comforts everyone if they will just allow him to. See, Philippians 4:6-7 promises, if we will be patient and turn on to him in prayer, the peace of God which surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what it does. It guards our heart. It protects. It's like a shield there. As long as we have the peace of God, something that we as human beings cannot fully explain. That's what it says, which surpasses understanding. We as human beings can't fully explain it all. But yet our minds are comforted because we know he is there looking out for us. We can have comfort. We live in a chaotic world. There's no doubt about that. Far too many, there is very little true comfort in this life. You see them. You see the way they behave. They're agitated all the time. They're grumpy all the time. They're angry all the time. They have no comfort. And sometimes you feel sorry for them because we know where to find comfort. We know where to find true comfort, but yet they don't want to listen. That's their problem. See, there is misery in this life. There's disappointment. There's failures and troubles and frustrations that will drive away the sense of comfort that we all crave. But it doesn't have to be that way because we are Christians. For the one who lives without any hope beyond this life, such things can become overwhelming and even defeating. That's what happens when people give up on God. There's nothing to live for. That's why so many people commit suicide. There's nothing to live for. That's why they go out and do horrible things. There's nothing to live for. See, the Christian, even in the face of difficulties, has a better perspective about life, which extends beyond this realm. Just about everybody you meet in this world, they're trying to avoid the grave. They're trying to avoid that final breath that they're going to take, because that'll be the end for them. They have nothing to look forward to. They're oblivious to the fact that there is a burning hell waiting for them. They don't know this. But a Christian, we know better. We know what God has promised. There is a bright place called heaven that we can go to. And it's a beautiful place. A place of comfort and a place of enjoyment. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 tells us how to get there. You set your mind on it, not on the things of this earth. Put your mind where Christ is. Christ seated at the right hand of God. Do not set your mind on the things of the earth. Because what's going to happen to the things of this earth? Well, John tells us there in 1 John 2, 15 and 16. They're going to perish. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. They're all going to perish. Because they're of the world. But if we are a Christian and have a relationship with God, we set our mind on heaven. And that's where we do. That's where we focus. And that's where we will end up. Therefore, we can take great comfort, even in the face of the same trials everybody else faces, in the face of misery, in the face of disappointment, frustration, and failures. We're no different than anybody else. We face all this stuff too, but we handle it differently. Christians handle it differently. If you can't handle these things, then you're not acting like a Christian. Just plain and simple as that. It's all about our perspective. See, Acts 9:31 says, the churches of throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they multiplied. When the churches were doing what God wanted them to do, they were comforted. 2 Corinthians 13:11 calls upon us to be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. That's talking about our relationships. We can be in good comfort if we get along with each other. If we live in peace and have the same thoughts, same desires, that is mentioned several places in the scriptures that we need to do. Having that unity. And so may we find our true comfort in Him, in Christ. We find comfort in His Word. Some people may not agree with that, but if you're downtrodden, if you're depressed, if you've got issues you're dealing with, go to God's Word. You'll find something there. There is something there for you that you can have comfort because of it. Romans 15, 4 and 5 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. As long as it's according to Christ, we can be like-minded and we can be comforted. His message is one of hope and optimism. Something to look forward to. Something to be excited about. Something to give us the tingling down our back or the hairs raising on our neck. It's just something, wow, it's going to be awesome. That doesn't mean that everything's not going to be without troubles and sorrows. We're human. We're going to face the trials of life. There's no question about that. And we're going to have sorrows. We're going to have disappointments. We're going to have loved ones pass away. We're going to have people fall away from the church. It's going to hurt us. But yet we know better. We can still have this hope. The overall message and the end result is truly comforting to us. In the end, heaven is waiting for us. And that's what we're looking forward to. And as we study His Word, especially in difficult times, it can give us the strength, hope, and endurance we need to move ahead. That's what it does. It helps us. See, we are to comfort one another. This phrase is used several times in the New Testament, and in our Sunday morning study, we're going to have a whole section devoted on comforting one another. See, one of the blessings we enjoy as Christians is fellowship with our brethren. And when we are what we ought to be, we will be there for one another. We'll be there for each other. If one of us has a mishap, a problem, guess what? The brethren will be there for you. We can count on them. We're going to lift each other up when we face difficult times. And we're going to be there to comfort one another. Now remember, from our scripture reading, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort, who comforts us and able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. We are comforted. But that only happens if you're a Christian. It only happens if you are a faithful Christian. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See, Colossians 4:8, Paul sent Tychicus to the brethren at Colossae to comfort them. He said, I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. See, Paul was in prison, and people were worried about him. They'd heard what happens in the prisons. It's not very pleasant. It's not very nice. And they're worried about his health, his safety. So Tychicus went and said, Paul is okay. He's doing just fine. And it would give the brethren comfort to know that. And then Tychicus returns and lets Paul know, these people were very comforted to know that you're okay, and they're happy for you and praying for you. So Paul was comforted by brethren coming to him. 2 Corinthians 7:7, nevertheless God, who comforts the downcast, comfort us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, that I rejoiced even more. When we know other people are praying for us, we're comforted. When we know if we're going through an issue, our brethren are praying for us, that should be comforting. It should take a whole burden off of our shoulders and off our minds. We know God cares for us, but when our brethren care for us, it means the world. See, comfort is something God wants us to have as His children. In some ways, it's almost He demands us to be comfortable. Now, wouldn't you like a job that demanded you to be comfortable? Yeah, we all would. That would be neat. Doesn't work out that way, but we'd love to have that. In His Word, God has provided us all things necessary to be comforted. And even as we face difficulties in this world, we can still be comforted in knowing the hope that Jesus Christ has for us. His Word gives us comfort, as does His people, each other. We ought to pursue the comfort and peace He offers us. He tells us, pursue peace with all men. And if it's at all possible, be at peace with all men. But also the comfort that is associated with that. We read about that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. And then, it is only found if we are true to Him and His Word. Important point here, that's why it's in bold letters. This true comfort is only found if we are true to God and Jesus and the Word. In other words, if we are faithful. If we're not faithful, we don't have and we don't deserve to have comfort that He offers. But when we get right with God, then He'll give us that comfort. We cannot achieve godly comfort while refusing to submit to His will. Keep that in mind. It cannot happen. So to do His will, we must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe it. We must repent of our sins and confess His name, and then be baptized for the remission of our sins, and then live faithful. Live faithful and true to Him. That's how we can have true comfort. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing. All things are